You ever sneeze and pee your pants? Is that normal? I don't know what's the matter. Lately, I sneeze, I pee my pants. It's like, ma'am, do you need a Kleenex? No, but some kitty litter would be nice. What the...
That is Etta May, and aging is no joke, physically or mentally. And we are speaking with Dr. Macy Smith. She is a gerontologist with Synergy Home Care. It is always delightful to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Christine.
So today we're talking about solo aging. First of all, what is solo aging?
Solo aging is someone who is aging without family, biological family, and in some cases, even logical family. This person has never had any children, has never gotten married. They're the only child, and their parents have gone on to glory. And so literally, they are managing day to day, day by day, by themselves outside of actually creating a family of their own.
And is this a growing thing that we're seeing more and more of?
We are. It is growing. It does have a name. Solo agers actually have an actual community where solo agers actually get together and meet and congregate and collaborate, and they become a support network for each other. Christine, our families are a lot smaller than what they have been in the past. No longer are people having 10, 15, and 20 children. I haven't seen that in decades and in generations. And so people are having no children or having one child. And it's very easy, especially today, to find yourself in that position. And if we're talking about our generation X, you know, we got to look at ourselves as well to see who we have around us. And it's never if you'll need help, it's when you'll need help. Now, the level of care that you will need will vary, but it's almost certain that you're going to need some level of support as you age in America.
And even if you do have family, I think more and more people are very conscious about I hate to say that we're a burden, but they are very conscious about the burden that being a caregiver places on younger folks. So even if they have family, mm-hmm. you know, maybe they're not close, or maybe they're, you know, too isolated to ask for help. Yes.
Yeah. No, that's a perfect point. We have people who live far away from their aging loved ones, and that person is not, as you stated, going to put the burden on their child or their niece or nephew or grandchild because they know that they are living their own life. And caregiving does change your life, full stop. It won't be the same depending on the level of care you have to provide. So you're right. Even if there is family, they may be at a distance, or the senior just, quite frankly, doesn't want to bother them or burden them.
So if someone does find themselves in the position where they don't have family members nearby, or they don't have family members with whom they're close, or they just don't have family members, who can they turn to for help?
So I would recommend that they reach out to a geriatric care manager. So a geriatric care manager will help identify support services and support networks in place to have the senior connected to on the front end, whether they need it now or whether they may need it in the future. And a connection with the home care company is ideal as well, because you don't want to be searching for a home care company when you need some assistance with bathing, dressing, and dining. You want to already be connected, have their number. Synergy Home Care comes out and does free assessments, so they'll have you in their system. So when you need them, they're ready to go. Also, a certified elder attorney will help with what that planning may look like, because there is a cost when it comes to long-term services and supports or non-medical care. A financial planner will also help with planning for what that care may look like, because more times than not, we are not prepared for what that care looks like financially, because we just assume that when we turn 65 and we get Medicare and we have, you know, served in state government and we have this insurance with Blue Cross Blue Shield, that it's going to cover LTSS. It's not. It does not cover non-medical care. So your certified elder attorney will help with managing those assets. Your financial advisor will help with creating streams of financial security to be able to actually pay for long-term care. And a geriatric care manager will connect you with resources in the community, such as Synergy Home Care, or Christine, with the CCRC, that's a continuing care retirement community. Another resource would be a realtor. We actually have senior realtor advisors. What they do is help seniors downsize because they may have to sell their home in order to pay for long-term care. And when they sell their home, they may be willing, or it may be appropriate for them to move into what we call a CCRC. That's a continuing care retirement community. Whereas you have your own home, you own it, it's independent living, but as your needs of care increase, then the next level is assisted living. The next level may be nursing home level of care or memory care, depending on what your care needs are. But you're on that same property. You're in that same community, very familiar people, very familiar processes. So if there is a need for increased level of care, then you're already positioned and in place for it.
And again, that's called a continuing care retirement community.
Mm-hmm. CCRC. Yes, ma'am.
So it's kind of all services in one spot. And is it important to have everything be familiar as you get older? I mean, from the point of view of a gerontologist?
Of course. Whether or not a person starts to develop mild cognitive impairment or dementia, which is extremely important in those cases, but just simply aging, you want to be in familiar places. Even now, I'm going to tell you, Christine, so I have a professional makeup artist and sometimes she's not available and I may have to go to a new one. I have makeup artist anxiety. I don't even know if that's a thing, but that's what I have. Anything new to me that involves some level of intimacy, I get so nervous because I don't know the person. I don't know their energy. You know what I mean? And so the unknown is always nerve-wracking. So familiarity offers a sense of comfort. With comfort comes peace. And we know that leads to longevity when it comes to life in general.
Right. So less stress makes a happy life.
Ooh, yes, honey. No makeup anxiety. No makeup artist anxiety.
We're going to coin a new term today, makeup anxiety.
Yes.
So some people need to seek the help, or does everybody need to seek the assistance of a professional conservatorship? And tell us what that is.
So a conservatorship is when someone else, a third party, actually manages your money. That's not a need for everyone, but that may be a need for someone. Now, if you are having concerns with the family you do have that is at a distance and they are trying to tell you what to do with your money, or if you have concerns about mismanagement of your money, you can solicit the help of a conservator and they will then manage the money. And so now you don't have to worry about, you know, your niece coming to you for money because you don't manage your money. A conservator does. And if you're having problems with memory and cognitive concerns, then you would want a third party that you trust to manage your money. Because I think about some families I had who developed vascular dementia, and in the early stages with vascular dementia, there are concerns with executive functioning. And so I had a gentleman who actually depleted his and his wife's retirement accounts.
Oh, no.
Because he hid what he couldn't remember and what he was losing. So she did not know until it was too late. Now, she did recognize some, you know, cognitive concerns, but she had no idea how that could eventually affect, you know, finances. And so, you know, if you see concerns with cognition, you definitely may want to just give a conservator a call to find out what their services are and what your concerns are, because that's something I don't wish upon anybody. And all of their savings was gone. Like, they had to sell their home and move into a CCRC.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's always better to do those things before you start to lose memory and things like that, because it gets more emotional, right?
It gets more emotional. It gets a little bit more difficult too when it comes to the decision-making process, because even though the person has cognitive impairment or maybe in early stages of dementia, they still can make their own decisions, even if it's a bad decision. They still can make it. And so if they don't have a guardian or they're not adjudicated incompetent, then just say if you go to a lawyer or if you go to the bank, the person behind the desk will have to determine whether or not is this person, you know, cognitively aware or, you know, comprehensively they can make this decision. So it becomes very, very muddy when there is an element of cognitive impairment in play.
And that time period can take years, right? From somebody becoming a little bit forgetful, and those around them who are closest to them know, this is not right. This is the way. This is not. He's not acting right, or she's not acting
Sure. Yeah,
amply.
no, yeah, it doesn't happen overnight. If the person loses memory overnight, it's probably not a progressive type of dementia, it's probably delirium. But dementia, if it's a progressive type like Alzheimer's or vascular or frontotemporal, it will take time. And so you will have time to get those affairs in order. You will recognize the early signs. Now, what happens in that case, Christine, we might overlook the early signs or bury them because we're not ready to face that reality. But that's a dangerous thing to do because you want to get in front of it as much as possible and you will see the signs for sure.
That is a very, very tense time for certain if you have a family member who's undergoing that for sure. Any last minute tips that you can give us? I would love to talk with you again in the near future, but before we let you go, any last minute tips about smart solo aging?
Oh, I love that. Today, take stock of where you are. Just really sit and list the people who you have that you know you can call on to stop everything at the drop of a dime and come and see about you. And if your list is one or less, then I need for you to connect with a geriatric care manager sooner than later. You can go to aginglifecare.org to actually search for a geriatric care manager in your area. I want you to connect to a certified elder attorney. You can just Google that one. Also a financial advisor, and then connect to a professional home care company near you so that way you will have your crew, your people in place. And so that way, if you were to, encounter an emergency, you know who to call to
And
actually, to start you on your way.
this is regardless of your income level, right?
Correct, correct. Because they're going to guide you through what you need and what you can afford. And if there are any, just any grant programs in place if you need that. But you got to get the professionals lined up and ready to go. And when you don't know where to start, they do.
Dr. Macy Smith, thank you so much for your insight and intellectual approach to solo aging.
Yes, thank you, Christine.